We are again thankful to see each one here this evening. We certainly desire your prayers. We're going to turn to the book of Luke chapter 11. And before we begin to read, we do want to look to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, as we come to you this day, Father, we're so thankful for the many wonderful things that you've done for us. Father, you've been far better to us than we deserve. And Father, we pray that you would lead, guide, and direct in the service. May your will be accomplished in it. And Father, we pray that lost souls could be drawn to your Son. And Father, that we that are saved could be drawn closer to you and be the people that you would have us to be. We need you so much in our lives. Help us, Father, that we follow you in all things. For we ask this all in the name of Jesus, for he is worthy. Amen. In Luke chapter 11, I'm going to begin reading in verse 1. And this is a passage when Jesus is teaching his disciples to pray. In fact, they will ask him to teach us to pray. And some people think, well, I can come to God any way I want to. Well, that's not what the Bible teaches us. And it's not that God has a whole lot of lists and things, but God does want us to know how we're supposed to pray. I'll start off with saying this. The Scripture tells us that there is only one mediator between God and man. Now, there's some others out there. They say, well, I pray to Mama, and I pray to Daddy, and I pray to Grandma, and I pray to Mary, and I pray to all these other saints and all these other things. That's not taught in Scripture. We got one mediator between God and man, and that's the man Christ Jesus. And some people say, well, I pray to Jesus. And no, we don't pray to him. We pray through him, and there's a big difference. There's a reason that we finish our prayers in the authority or in the name of Jesus, and it's important that we remember that. But even Jesus taught his disciples who to pray to. And he told them to pray to the Father. But I want to read this passage, and then we're going to reference some other scriptures and try to delve into the burden that God has given us. It says in verse 1 of Luke chapter 11, "And it came to pass that as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, one of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples. And he said unto them, When ye pray, say, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. And again, reverencing God, having that respect for God and who he is and the place that he holds. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done as in heaven, so in earth. Give us this day by day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone that is indebted to us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil." And this is the finishing part here in verse 4. But as we read through this prayer, I know there's things that we could teach about the prayer and teach about what we should ask of God and how we're seeking the will of God. But I want to think that, first of all, when you're trying to learn something, you need to know how to do something. There's things that I have slowly learned to do over the years. Slowly learn to do math, slowly learn to do English. I'm still trying to work hard on English. But there's things that you kind of slowly learn and you slowly develop. There's little basics that you learn. You kind of grow off of them. And after a while, the things that you used to think were hard become simple. And the reason that they become simple is because you practice them a lot. I think back in school that every year, we'd go back and we would refresh ourselves on some things. And you'd just go back and you'd redo some things that you'd already learned. And then you would still use those things, but you would use them with other applications. I'll say this, I still had to use addition even when I was in algebra or even when I was in geometry. But I was using multiplication, division. I was using other problem-solving skills. And so you kind of added to those things as you went along, but you were still using the basics also. And you would go back. As you're in elementary school, you learn how to spell words. And you learn how to use them in sentences. And you learn verbs and adverbs and adjectives and all these other things. And then you learn what a run-on sentence is. And you learn where to put the question mark and where to put the comma and different things of this nature. And you kind of develop that as you go through school. And even though you're still using the basics you started off with, you still have to spell the words correctly. You've also learned how to use those words in a sentence. And then you learn how to write those sentences. And you learn when to separate a paragraph. And you learn how to even use more advanced words in your definitions. And you continue to add to your vocabulary as you go along. But you still use the basics. And the basics of what we learn in prayer, we always use. But what we want to do is we want to learn to use them well. Now we find in the Scripture about the Holy Spirit dwelling within us and how it intercedes upon our behalf with God, even the things that we don't know how to speak or how to say or what to ask for, that we have a Spirit that works within us to help us, that it can bring our petitions to God. But you know, prayer is one of those things that we don't need to do just occasionally. It's something that we need to practice. I asked a man not too long ago, I guess it's been a few years back, but I asked a man at church one time, and I said, would you like to lead in prayer? And he said, no, I'm not comfortable doing that. And I thought, well, you know, as a man, we're supposed to lead our family in prayer. We're supposed to set an example, and we're supposed to lead them. And, you know, at home is where we do a lot of practicing. And in our private lives, I've even told some teenagers and even some that have graduated recently and throughout the years, I've told them, I said, if you want to know how to pray well, you practice at home. I said, if you're talking to God every day at home, I said, it helps you when it comes time to say a public prayer, to say a prayer while you're with your family, or to say a prayer before a meal or whatever it is, that you're practicing those things. And I'm not saying that in practice being repetitive, but you're practicing talking to God. You know, the Bible tells us to pray without ceasing. That doesn't mean that we're just constantly praying all the time. It means that we have a prayer on our heart all the time. We have burdens. You know, there's times that I think about burdens during the day and I might have to stop and say a prayer. There's things that it might be I'm dealing with personally, or somebody gives me a phone call, or somebody lets me know that somebody's sick, or somebody's facing surgery, or somebody's got some tragedy going on in their family. And you just learn to pray for those things. And you know, there's some things that maybe when I first started to preach, somebody would call you up and they would have something difficult going on in their life, and you would say, well, man, God, I don't even know how to pray for this. But, you know, the more that you talk to God about those things, and the more that you took those burdens and those cares to the Lord, after a while, you know exactly what's on your heart, and you kind of know even what's needed. And you know what to pray for. And you start talking to God more and more, and it gets to the place that you get good at something. I think we all know this. The more you practice something, the better you get at it. And it doesn't matter if it's, you know, somebody, I'll say this, if I started to plant a garden today, and I've planted a few gardens, but there's people that have planted gardens for, you know, 50, 60, 70 years. Well, I'd rather go to the person that's planted for 50, 60, 70 years and get some advice from them and say, listen, I'm about to plant some corn. Is there any recommendation? Is there a certain seed that I need to plant? Is there a certain fertilizer it would be good for me to use? You know, how far do I need to space them apart and things of this nature? Because somebody that's had more experience, they've learned some things. And they've learned more than just you'll find upon a package that you might receive. They've learned little secrets. They've learned little things to make it better. Years ago, I came across a man. He's a member at one of our sister churches. But he was a tree farmer. And I mean, he was cutting down trees at 20 years old. I'm talking about fully mature logs that he was cutting down at 20 years old. And he was one of the best tree farmers in the state, had been recognized in many different ways. And I went over to his house, you know, because I said, well, there may come a time that I plant some trees. I'd like to learn a little bit about this. And so I started asking him questions. And he said, what I do is not difficult. He said, it's just that you're taking care of things. And you're taking care of those trees. He said, you know, most people that plant trees, they just throw them out there. And they leave them. He said, but if you'll fertilize them a little bit, if you'll go out there and keep all the weeds down and all the other things that would take the nutrients away from them, if you'll keep those things down, He said, you'll be amazed at what can be produced. And he said, you kind of know over time how it grows best out of a certain distance and certain places and how to thin them and do different things. And he had a whole plan list set out. And I said, man, if I ever plant some trees, I need to follow this man's list. But he had a lot of experience. He had a lot of study. He had put a lot of time into that. You know, there's a lot of people that are good at things simply because they've practiced at it a lot. And I'll say this, when you practice at something, you're going to make a mistake along the way. There's some people who say, well, what if I say something wrong to God? God knows our heart anyway. And God's going to help show us when we do something wrong. He'll help correct it. He'll help lead us in the right direction. But I think there's some people that are so afraid to make a mistake that they never want to learn. But I'll say this, I didn't learn baseball without striking out. I didn't even learn throwing a ball without getting hit by a ball at some point in time. And those are small things in life. That's with sport. As we grow in the Lord, you know, you got to put things into practice. And even within our prayer, we need to practice it. I look at Daniel, a man that prayed 3 times a day. And I've often thought how wonderful it would be to listen to Daniel pray. I said, man, I bet I could learn a lot just by listening to that man pray. And the reason that I think that is because he prayed often. And a person that prays often is somebody that you can learn from. Have you ever sat and listened to somebody pray? And people think, well, it has to be eloquent and it has to be all these other things. It doesn't have to be that. I tell you, I've sat in some country churches. I'm talking about in the back of the woods of the middle of nowhere. And I've learned some things just by listening to people pray. There's some things that they notice where there's a need at. And you learn that and you pay attention to it and say, man, they paid good attention. And they knew there was a need. They knew there was something to pray for, and they prayed for it. There's times when they know that there's a need in the church, and they pray for it. And it's not about being eloquent. It's not about sounding good before others. I think that I've been in some services before where people were having prayer competitions. And I don't think God gets honor and glory out of that. I think that you can look in the Scripture, and there were people that desired to pray so that they could be heard of men. Listen, that's not our goal. Our goal is we're petitioning God for what's needful, and even things that we need to listen to Him for. That we're wanting to submit to His will, as this prayer would even teach us. To let God's will be done, you know, here on earth as it is in heaven. Let His will be accomplished. There are times that I've heard people pray for some things and I say, oh, that was so unselfish. Oh, that was so in the Spirit of God. And maybe other people were listening to it and they say, well, that wasn't much of a prayer. But that's because they were listening to it with a human ear and not with a spiritual ear. The spiritual ear hears different than the natural ear. The natural ear likes to hear things that sound eloquent, that sound, you know, well thought out and all these other things. Not that a good prayer won't. But the spiritual listens to, is this person seeking something for self? Is he looking to sound good? Or is that person trying to seek the blessings of God? And trying to seek the will of God? And that's why I often thought that, man, I'd love to hear Daniel pray. Because no doubt he would pray for things that were needful. No doubt he would have prayed for things for even the Israelites while they were in captivity. And what he would pray might be totally different than what we would think needed to be prayed for. He might have even saw that they were still living wickedly and against God. And he might have prayed, God, we need some more suffering. There's people that say a godly person would never pray for more suffering. Go study the prayer of Elijah when he prayed for it not to rain. What was going to be caused by that? If it's not going to rain for the space of 3.5 years, what's going to come from that? Famine, death, suffering, loss of wages, loss of a lot of the basic necessities of life when you've got a famine like that. But he prayed for it because he understood that the people had gone so far away from God that it was going to take something serious to wake them up that what they really needed was God. Do you know that he was spiritual enough to pray for suffering? And I'll even go back to Daniel. Daniel, when he wanted to know something of the Lord, not only did he pray, he fasted. The Bible declares that to be afflicting thyself. I've heard people say, oh, if I fasted, I'd get headaches. I would have this problem or that problem. I'm going, it's called an affliction for a reason. You're actually supposed to suffer. Your stomach's supposed to grumble. You're supposed to get hungry. There's things that come along with that sometime, including headaches, including other problems. And sometimes we have to even afflict ourselves, suffer some, so that we can see the blessings of God, see things spiritually and not naturally. And a lot of times that's left out in prayer life. I've even had people tell me over the years, they say, God doesn't want me to suffer. I'm going, you haven't read much scripture. A lot of times, you know, I've even heard the statement a preacher told a man one time that came up and said, I need more humility. I need to be humbled. I need to be a better man for God. I need some more humility. And the preacher started praying. He said, God, would you send some trials and tribulations into this man's life? Would you send him some difficulties? And the man tried to stop him while he prayed. He said, I didn't ask for all that. And he said, you don't understand. If you don't go through this, you don't get humility. I know I've mentioned it here before. In messages, you'll be amazed at how much humiliation sometimes can humble you. It strips away the pride. It takes you to a place that you can actually be taught. And you know, there's a lot of God's people that don't want that. There's people that say, well, I just want to pray well. And I just want to know the will of God. And I want to know some things. But the Bible says that we must suffer with Him. And some of that is even in our prayer life. Sometimes when we're praying, do you know what you have to meditate upon sometimes when you're praying? I mean, when you got brothers and sisters in Christ, they're dealing with things. There's times that you're having to meditate and think about, man, what would it be like to be in this loss situation that this person was in? And I'm talking about loss, whether it's loss of a loved one, whether it's loss of finances, whether it's loss of maybe some physical ability in their life. You face all those things and you try to imagine what they stand in need of. And you try to think about, you're literally trying to put yourself into their shoes. And you're trying to say, God, what do they need? So that you even know what to pray for. And even within that, there's a certain amount of affliction that goes into that. There's a certain amount of grief because as we love one another as we should, as brothers and sisters in Christ, if one of us hurts, we weep with them. If one's rejoicing, we rejoice with them. And there's a lot of emotions that even go into our prayer life because we're dealing with what is needful. You're thinking about lost people and sometimes you're thinking about, man, what are they facing out in the world? What's the peer pressure? What are they facing with friends? What are maybe the thoughts and things that are going through their mind that they're going through? And you try to think about all that to know, God, how is it best to reach them? God, what will it take for your Spirit to open their eyes to the truth? And you're trying to look at all those things and you're praying about those things and seeking the will of God. And the only way we get to the point that we mature in our prayer life is we practice it. We spend time in prayer. We spend time in meditation, even upon the Scriptures and upon the things of God. It takes time. And so when people say, well, how should I pray? Certainly I would take them to a place like Luke chapter 11 and say, here's the basics. But then you take them to other scriptures and say, here's some things you're going to have to learn so that your prayer life will grow. You know, Paul talked about in his prayer life that he spent time weeping. We talked about being in fasting and prayers and tears often. That was all connected, and it was within prayer. I don't know how you have a real good prayer life if sometimes it doesn't move you to tears. Because you're thinking about somebody that's lost a child, or somebody that's lost a grandparent, or somebody that's lost a mother or father, and you can really identify with them because you can imagine what those feelings might be, even if you haven't experienced them. That doesn't mean we feel what they feel, but we can try to put ourselves into that place and say, man, what would that mean to me? And when you're praying for them, you're thinking about that situation, and you're thinking about what they're going through, and you're thinking to yourself, God, what does this person need? And so when you pray, sometimes it'll move you to tears. You think about lost people lifting their eyes up in hell, and I tell you, in a private prayer setting, you're not thinking of some distant person that's lost. You're thinking of a cousin, an aunt, an uncle, maybe even a parent or a child. And it gets real personal to you because you're thinking about, God, what will it be like if I have to stand there and watch this person that I love and I care for, to watch them be cast into eternity without you, to be cast into that everlasting fire. And I tell you, it'll grip you in prayer when you start calling names unto the Lord. You start calling individuals who you're praying for and who you're concerned about and who you want to see saved. Sometimes you even deal with situations in churches and with people and brothers and sisters in Christ that you're thinking about somebody that may have gone off like the prodigal son and they've gone the way of the world, and you see them destroying their lives and destroying their witness and doing so much damage, and you're going, God, what would it take to get them back? And sometimes you got to think, God, you're going to have to get their attention. You're going to have to put some things in their life that really gets their attention for them to turn. And what might get their attention sometimes isn't that great. And those are things you don't look forward to, but for somebody to see the truth, sometimes it takes difficult things. I'll say this, over the years, you talk to people that have been addicted to drugs, alcohol, abusive, have all kinds of other problems. You ever known a person to change from that without having a changing moment? Some people call that rock bottom. There's all kinds of things. Do you know that sometimes we're actually to pray for people to hit a rock bottom so that they'll see their need? And so as we're learning how to pray, there's the basics that are needed. There's repetition. And when I say repetition, I'm not saying repeat the same prayer. That's certainly not what the Bible would teach. It teaches against that. But you come to a place where I talk about repetition as I'm talking about you're continually going to God in prayer. Every day you're going to God. I'll say this, you get better with communication with people the more you communicate. And we get better with our communication with God with two things. One, we talk to Him. And the second part of that is we allow Him to talk to us, and He talks to us through His Word, which comes in study, and that's an important part of prayer also. If we're not willing to listen to the answers that God has, we can't even pray correctly. Because sometimes through God's Word, He'll say, here's what I need you to pray for. But we wouldn't know that if we didn't study, if we didn't read. And so that comes into play also. I think one of the greatest ways that we can tell about somebody's walk with the Lord is by their prayer life. And you say, well, we don't get to see that. We're not around them. We don't get to listen to all their prayers. I think we can tell when somebody prays. I think there's some evidence in their life when there's people that pray. especially when they pray fervently, diligently, often. I remember when I first started to preach, there was a preacher that the question he would ask me every time I'd see him, he would say, "How is your prayer life?" First question he'd ask every single time I saw him, "How is your prayer life?" Now, he knew I could lie to him. I could do all kinds of different things as a human. But he was trying to get me to think about it. If my prayer life's not right, nothing else that I do really matters. Because if I don't have access to God, and I don't have God helping me with everything I do, anything else is just vanity. And so our prayer lives is very important. You know, and I look in life, and I'll be honest, over the years I have noticed some people with great prayer lives. And probably first and foremost, I think about my grandmother. She had a great prayer life. And the reason I know that is I got to live with her for a time. I'd have known that she prayed without that, but getting to live with her and Pawpaw for a time let me to see that reading their Bible every night and having time to talk with the Lord was very important to them. And they took time to pray. And I also know that she prayed for me. And I know I'm not the only one she prayed for. My wife always tried to make the assumption after we got married, she said, "Your granny loves you more than she does anybody else." I said, "No, she loves everybody that way." I said, "But when you're around her, she makes you feel like you're the most valuable thing in the world." I said, "But she does that to everybody." And I knew she did. I can remember coming to her house the week before she died. I was going to preach not too far away from her, and I stopped by to see her. And you know what she told me? She said, "Brandon," she called out some names. I'm not going to call out the names. But she listed me a few names, and she had conversations. And she said, "These people need prayer." And before I left the house, she said, "Now we're going to bow and we're going to pray for these things." I probably learned more about prayer life from my granny than I did anybody else. Because she knew the power of it, the importance of it, also the necessity of it to have a good walk with God and to be a blessing to others. And we need to understand that about prayer. It's not just going through a ritual prayer. If you find Peter praying or if you find the other disciples praying anywhere in Scripture, you don't find them repeating these words. And I know sometimes with football teams and baseball teams and different organizations, they love to repeat what they call the Lord's Prayer. It's actually the example prayer. It wasn't his prayer. His prayer would be more accurately found in the Garden of Gethsemane. That would be more accurate, the Lord's Prayer, when he was facing the cross and how he talked to the Lord and even asked for strength. But this was him teaching the basics unto his disciples. And saying, "There's some basics you need to know. And the rest of it you're going to learn through practice." You know, I think about this. I often think about things with the military, and I think about people going out for basic training. There's some basics you need to know in the military, isn't there? There's some basics about discipline, order, even physical conditioning and things of this nature. There's some basics you need to know. But there's a whole lot of other stuff you learn after basic training. And a lot of it you learn through experience. Showing up to work every day, doing your job. Sometimes even through failure. You learn lessons with your job of what you need to know. Well, it's the same way with our prayer life. God's given us the basics of what we need to know. Yes, we need to go through the name of Christ. We're praying to the Father. We're praying for God's will to be done. We cast all of our burdens and cares upon Him, for He careth for us. Those are kind of the basics that you need to know. But you also need to know that it's important that we talk to God often. And the more we talk to God, the more we see our need of it. We need to have prayers on our heart daily because there's always people facing things that need prayer. There's lost people, and Lord knows we need prayer ourselves. That we understand that we're human and that without God we can do nothing. Those are things that we learn as we pray. But there's more to learn. And there's things that I probably couldn't even teach or bring out in a message. But there's things you'll learn just the more that you talk with God. And I'll say this, for the men, the more we talk to God privately, the more we can talk to God publicly. The more we can lead others in prayer. The more that we can set an example in our homes of a good prayer life. And I'll say this, our children need to hear us pray. And I don't say that just for the men, the women. It was good for me to hear my granny pray. It was good for me to hear my mother pray. And I don't think a lot of people realize how important the prayer of their mothers and their grandparents are. But it's very important because they're teaching that prayer is needful. And it is valuable to every person. And so we need to set that example. And the only way we can set that example before our children is we teach them, you know, you talk to God often. Sometimes my children, I ask them to lead in prayer, you know, at supper or lunch sometimes. And sometimes they'll go, but I don't know what to say. And I said, you'll learn a lot more to say if you practice at night. If you talk to God before you go to bed, if you talk to God when you wake up in the morning, if you start that practice, the more you talk with Him when you're asked to say a blessing, you'll know what to say because you've already had conversations with God. Practice makes all the difference. Sure, the basics are important and we need to know those things. But we also need to see the need to pray. We also need to pray often. Pray without ceasing. And learn to pray unselfishly, looking at the needs of others more than we even look at the needs of ourselves. And also, most importantly, looking at God's will being accomplished and not what we want accomplished. And when we learn those lessons, our prayer life will only improve. And I know we all need prayer. And we all know people who stand in need of prayer. And we might be the one that's praying for them and being the intercessor. And I know God is the only intercessor between God and man, but we're taking burdens to God through Christ on behalf of others. And we might be the only person that's carrying them to the Lord, saying, God, would you deal with this person? Would you open their eyes? Would you show them their need, whether it's salvation or whether it's to turn from sin or whether it's to open their eyes to their responsibilities in life or whatever it might be? We need to make sure that we're setting an example of prayer. It's one of the greatest tools that we have as God's people. I think it's the most powerful tool that we have because we're going directly to the throne of grace, the throne of God. I don't think there's anything more powerful than that you find in the Scripture, to go to God with something and take a burden, a care unto Him that He can answer it. I think a lot of times we let that slip and we miss out on the importance of it. Don't do that. See the need of prayer. Pray for others. Pray often. Pray consistently. Pray in the Spirit. And when we pray, then turn to the Scriptures and see what God has to answer our prayers or to help us to know how to pray better. And if we do these things, we will grow, we'll mature, we'll be a blessing to our families, our churches, our loved ones, and even the lost around about us if we learn how to pray better and talk to the Lord more. This is the burden that God has given us. If you'd have anything upon your heart, we'd invite you to come while I have verse of a song.